Hey there, it's Grant Wall with the Planet Football Podcast. There is a new series on Amazon that is absolutely terrific. It's called This Is Football. It's a six-part documentary exploring football's extraordinary impact on the world, from the pitches of the Champions League to the village where Lionel Messi grew up, to the fields of post-war Rwanda. This globe-spanning series tells a unique story of the game and its power to unite countries, inspire generations, and captivate billions. It's all told through real, heartfelt stories featuring Messi, Pep Guardiola, Brandi Chastain, and many others. I actually binge-watched all six episodes this past weekend. There's a wonderful second episode as well on the U.S. women's national team and the Japanese women's national team. That has to do with our guest today. Crystal Dunn, the World Cup champion, is joining us. Crystal, welcome. You're here on behalf of Secret and Olay Body Wash, which are available at Walgreens. Crystal, what do you have going on with these guys, Secret and Olay?
So I've recently partnered with Secret and Olay Body Wash, and they're incredible. Obviously, as you know, I am a soccer player professionally, so I am constantly in the sun, sweating and all this and that. So it's really great to just have like a brand that you can rely on and, you know, just get some really great deals off of them. So they have a really great deal going on right now, August 30th. So you can buy two Secret Outlasts for $11 and two Olay body washes for $12. So it's an awesome deal, and it's going on through August 30th. So I think it's something people should definitely look into. And it's been incredible for me.
So lots to talk about here news-wise as well. I want to jump right in with some news. Your NWSL team, the North Carolina Courage, played to a league record crowd of more than 25,000 in Portland last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You scored, but then your team ends up losing 2-1 on two own goals.
Yes. It's so sensitive still, Grant. Goodness gracious.
How tough is it to lose when your team has two own goals?
I mean, it's just tough to lose in general. I mean, I'm such a sore loser. It's so funny. Like, my husband actually works for the Thorns, so, like, even, like, going to get dinner with him after the game, I was, like, so silent. I was like, I can't even talk to you right now. I was, like, crushed. But, yeah, the environment was incredible. You know, 25,000 people, amazing. You know, I think the game was also an interesting game, too. You know, I think the first half, we completely had them. We should put two or three more goals in and then kind of just killed the game. But, you know, we didn't. We were only up 1-0, and we allowed them to get back in and, you know, one own goal, then another own goal, and we're down 2-1, you know, within, you know, 10 minutes of each other. And I think, you know, the game got away from us. But it's definitely a learning curve. I think this is kind of just what sports is in general. It's like, if you don't really put a complete game together, there is the opportunity that you could lose the game. And, you know, that's exactly what happened. So, yeah, definitely a learning experience for us.
You mentioned your husband, and I hope I get his name right. It's Pierre Sobrier?
Soubrier, yes.
Okay. He seems to always be on the opposing team, whether it's at the World Cup and he's French and you're playing France, or whether he's working for the Portland Thorns and you're playing their team.
Yes.
It almost sounds like a sitcom. How does this work for you guys?
You know, it's interesting. I think, you know, he's obviously so proud to be French. I think he's very happy that the men won the World Cup, and of course his wife won the Women's World Cup, so I think that's okay. But yeah, seeing him on the other side of the field over the weekend, I was like, wow, this really sucks. He couldn't even probably be happy for me when I scored, so like, that's unfortunate. But
is it a little tough considering that you're kind of on opposite sides of the country during league season?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's every soccer player's situation for the most part. I mean, of course, in the NWSL, there's only 9 teams. So, you know, our country's huge. There's only 9 teams. And the chances of you actually, like, living with your partner or being in the same city as your partner are very slim. So we always knew that these are kind of the years that we just got to push through and, you know, do what's best for our careers, but also support each other along the way. So he's happy there in Portland. It's obviously a really great city, a lot of support, a lot of fan base there. And I'm happy in North Carolina. You know, I think it's important for me to stay true to what I believe, and my environment's good. I'm developing and really enjoying going to work every day. And I think unless that ever stops, you know, I'm happy where I'm at.
Your team, the Courage, is the defending league champion, but you're currently in third place, just 2 points, though, behind league-leading Portland with Chicago in between. Do you think the Courage, at full strength, is the best team in the league? And what areas do you think your team needs to work on the rest of the way to try and win another title?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to obviously know that every team has a strength. You know, I think, you know, that's just what this league brings. You know, you beat a team, but you also lose to a team that you were able to beat earlier in the year, and that's just the flow of the season. It's a, you know, it's a win each game kind of season. And I think, you know, what makes my team, I think, really hard to break down is, you know, the pace at which we want to play, the, you know, the power that all of our players have, and, you know, just our ability to constantly want to get on the ball and win the ball back and just continuously get down the flanks and just have so many different ways of attacking. With that being said, there's always a high risk, high reward with that. You know, we flood a lot of numbers forward, and we can get, you know, penalized on the counterattack. But, you know, I think our back line obviously does well to kind of ride the waves. But, you know, there are some games that we do get exposed, and that's just the nature of it. It's a very high risk, high reward way that we play. And yeah, each team has that strength, and each team probably has something that they lack in some department as well.
Starting Thursday this week, you have this cool ICC tournament. It's four teams. The Courage plays. Who do you guys play on Thursday night?
Man City.
Yes.
City. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Other two teams are Lyon, the European champion, and a really good Atletico Madrid team. I mean, obviously, these European teams are in preseason, but it's still a very competitive tournament. How seriously do you take trying to win this four-team tournament?
Yeah, I think it's been an interesting year, I will say. I mean, coming off a World Cup win and then, you know, getting a little bit of a break, but then kind of coming back right into the NWSL. And then for my team only, we are in this ICC tournament, which is incredible. It's a great way to, you know, compete against European teams. I think it's a way that people can see, you know, they always want to make the comparison. What's better? Which league is better? Which teams are better? And I think it's a great way for people to be able to, you know, see so many amazing players compete against each other at one time and, you know, make their own judgment and draw their own conclusions. But it is tough because we are in the heat of a season and, you know, these teams are in their preseason, so, you know, they might be looking into this tournament in a different way. But for us, you know, we definitely want to win. We're, you know, in form. We've been playing, but also we could be a little bit fatigued. You know, we just had a game, and then we're playing these games in the middle of the week. And, yeah, I think I'm expecting some rotation of players. I don't think, you know, starters are going to play full 90-minute games and things like that. So it'll be good for the whole team to, you know, just get some minutes and get some great play against a top opponent.
Before we get to some U.S. Women's National Team questions, I do want to ask you about this bump we've seen the NWSL get after the World Cup success. I mean, obviously, big crowds, record crowd last weekend for you guys. What do you think the league needs to do to maintain that bump over the longer term?
I mean, it's a tough question because when fans do make the effort to come out to games, it's great. And I, you know, it's hard to believe that they wouldn't want to do that consistently throughout the year or in a non-World Cup year. But I get it. There's a lot of buzz around soccer and World Cup and Olympic years. So I think the years that there isn't a World Cup or an Olympics or a major event, that's when, you know, we really need to dig deep and figure out how are we supposed to get these fans here, or how are we going to touch new fans that don't know about the game. The amount of people we run into who are like, oh, I didn't know there's a women team playing in this city and things like that. It's like, how do you still not know? You know, we feel like the marketing could obviously just get better and better, maybe more commercials, you know, people at home watching TV, like if they just get a glimpse that there is a game going on or if there's promo for it, I feel like it could just capture so many more people and fill many more stands. So I think those are the things we need to kind of just continue pushing. And of course we need to do it even more in, like I said, the years that we don't have major tournaments going on.
taking a very quick ad break here. There's a new series on Amazon called This Is Football. It's a 6-part documentary exploring football's extraordinary impact on the world, from the pitches of the Champions League to the village where Lionel Messi grew up to the fields of post-war Rwanda. This globe-spanning series tells a unique story of the game and its power to unite countries, inspire generations, and captivate billions. It's all told through real heartfelt stories featuring Messi, Pep Guardiola, Brandi Chastain, and many others. I give it a high recommendation. I watched all 6 episodes last weekend. There's a great second episode on the U.S. Women's National Team and the Japanese National Team as they've developed over the years. Let's talk about the U.S. Women's National Team, Crystal. Mm-hmm. There's some news here. Just this week, Kate Markgraf was hired as the new general manager. She will hire a new coach for the team. What kind of qualities do you want in whomever ends up being that coach?
You know, it's hard to say. I think whoever is going to be our new coach is either going to be, you know, is either going to go down one of 2 routes. I think it's either going to be a coach that could be very well out of the NWSL, where they already know the style of play, the American style of play, and they know a lot about, you know, the players individually. Or I feel like we can go a route where we get someone completely, you know, out of the American soccer bubble, and, you know, someone who is going to pretty much have a blank slate of all the players and kind of start from scratch. So personally, you know, I don't really have a preference. I think as long as the coach comes in and, you know, gives us new ideas and allows us to also be ourselves and express who we are on the field, I think that's all, you know, anyone can really hope for. So I'm kind of in the dark, though, too, about any coaches lined up. So I'm hoping to figure that out, you know, in the near future for sure.
The last couple of years, you've been asked to play out of position as a left back for the national team. Are you in any way hoping the new coach might ask you to play more of your natural position higher up the field?
You know, I think that would be hard to say off the bat, just because, you know, I have no idea if the new coach is going to come in with a new formation or style of play or anything like that. And I think for me, I've always been the player that, you know, just wants to fit and mold in with the team. So I feel like at this point in my career, yes, I do want to play more of an attacking role, but only if it makes sense, only if it makes me feel like I'm going to be able to be at my best. I'll be competitive as I don't know what, obviously every single camp leading into, you know, the Olympics and things like that. But I think for me, it's just about, you know, really trying to be at my best, and whichever position I am placed in, I think, just compete and always try to strive to be at the highest level.
Your North Carolina coach, Paul Riley, is viewed as one of the top candidates for the national team job. For our listeners out there who may not know that much about him, what have you learned about how Riley does his job?
Paul is so passionate about the game. I mean, the way he's able to break down games and just create and develop new ideas on how he wants us to play and what our style of play is going to look like, I think shows how much he really dedicates his time to our development and our performances. You know, he's somebody that believes in player 1 to 23, and I think that's important. I think sometimes coaches can get carried away with just their starting 11 or the 2 or 3 players that they might use in the game, but I think he really takes time to, you know, encourage players that might not be getting a lot of playing time. And I really, really love that, because I think for anyone who's ever been a player that's not a starter, who doesn't dress from time to time, you know, it's important to feel like you are valued still and still want to give your all to a team that respects and cares for you. And I think that's what, you know, that's what our team, why our team is so unique. I think players that are not able to, you know, perform on the field or get playing time are the ones that are actually helping those that are starting and getting playing time perform and be at their best self.
We're winding down here with Crystal Dunn, World Cup 2019 champion. And I'm curious, Crystal, when you look back on this 2019 World Cup title, what are you going to remember the most?
Honestly, I just remember the journey. I think it's funny because, you know, all of a sudden, blink of an eye, we win, and it's great. It's an amazing feeling. You feel, you know, the weight off your shoulder, the pressure of, you know, winning a gold medal. But then you look back and you're like, wow, like all the things you've gone through to get to that point is actually what you remember most about it. And I think for me, obviously, my journey from 2015 until 2019 was all about, you know, just the continuously believing in myself and you know, just figuring out what I wanted to be as a player and just going off of that. And every day just, you know, working so hard to make sure that I make that roster. And I think that is really what I'm going to cherish the most, is just the grit that I had to show every single day and to continuously prove myself day in and day out why I belong in the team. And then looking back, obviously feeling like I was a key player to our success, and, you know, that's a great feeling. But, you know, just like I said, looking back on the journey and what it took for me to get to there, to that point in time.
I'm curious also, how has your life changed since you came home as a World Cup champion?
You know, to be fair, not much has changed. I feel like we didn't really have a lot of time to really soak it all in. I think for me, more and more fans, just seeing more and more fans in the stands, I think is what makes me feel like, wow, like there was a World Cup, there was a major event that has sparked, you know, more interest in the game. But for me personally, I mean, I still feel like I'm same old Crystal Dunn, you know, just going out there and trying to encourage teammates. And I think in this off season will be a time where I can really reflect on this year. But so much is going on since the World Cup final that I'm like, oh, I just feel like I am back in the NWSL. Like, not anything has really changed.
You know, Crystal, part of me wishes that you guys had the opportunity, like the men's World Cup champions from France, to like take a month off.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. My husband has the same thing. He's like, dude, the parties are probably crazy. But I'm like, I would never know because we're back playing.
Well, Crystal Dunn, yeah. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. And once again, congratulations on winning the World Cup.
Thank you very much. Nice speaking with you.
Thanks for listening to the Planet Football Podcast. I'd like to thank Crystal Dunn, as well as producer Brandon Nix, and everyone at Sports Illustrated who supports this podcast. Remember to check out Throwback, my podcast series on the origins of the U.S. Women's National Team and the FIFA Women's World Cup. Also, check out our show, Planet Football TV, that is back this week with Season 3 with me and Luis Miguel Echegaray on SITV. See you next time.